Good morning, Masechet Bamitzia, Daf Mem Tet. Right, and we're starting at the bottom of the of about 8 lines from the bottom, Lema Ketanai. So we just dedicate this shir in Nishmat when it's done in this war to Chayalim and to civilians, Tzu'im and Chatufim. And we're going to also start adding all those who are living outside their homes. You know, I was thinking about it, they said in the rate that there are about 60,000 people in the north who haven't gone back to their homes yet. I was saying to Clifford this morning, you sure, it's mind-boggling in 2024 in the powerful, rich, modern state of Israel, that besides 120-plus chatufim there are 60,000 people in the north who are just living like refugees. We don't even think about it. It's properly mind-boggling, And
in the south also,
I'm saying just in the north, 60,000. And we should find to him and mention Matan Shachar Ben Anat, the last member of the Paris tank. I should have met Yeshua. You hear me better now? Is that better? Hi.
I thought it was my computer. Yeah,
very fast. No, I've been talking softly. Is that better? Can you hear me better now? Is it? All right. So we're in the middle of a machloket over here, talking about the question of the arvut, right? We saw the Rabbi Yehuda said that if you put down an amount, so you could you have to sell according to that amount. And Rabbi Shimon, that was the machloket. Right, the question was, we saw yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan said, can I get kulo, right, and whether it's the whole amount or not. And we had a machlok, but Arvon Rav said, can I get dohu kone, and Rabbi Yochanan said, no, can I get kulo kone. In other words, if you put out a deposit, that entitle you to the whole amount, and the guy can't change his mind at all, and if he does, so he's liable to the klala of Mishapara. Or is it only he's only liable for the amount that you put down, and he can change his mind on the balance? Because the lema ketanai, since this is the machloket tanai, this machloket amoraim mavir, it's like the machloket tanai. What's the machloket atanaim? Hamavit chaver la mashkon. So if you lend a person money, now we know that shmita year comes along, and what happens? The shmita is wipes out loans, right? That's where everyone runs to write a prusbu, correct? But it's not every loan that gets knocked out. The pasuk says, lo yigos, right? Now, lo yigos, if you lend somebody something with a mortgage, so let's be honest, if I lend a person money and they give me a guarantee for that money, so I'm not really at risk, right? Because if the guy doesn't pay me, I've got the money, correct? In principle. So I'm not at risk, and there's no running after him and chasing him. It's if he prepaid me, so as if it's a prepaid loan already. So a loan like that isn't cancelled in Shemitah. Okay, it's important that like our mortgages, the bank doesn't have to write a prusbur on a mashkanta. If you lend somebody money with a mortgage, so it's not, you don't have to worry about a prusbur. Shemitah's not going to cut that one out. So that's it. Amar v'chaver ala mashkon. So yeah, it's the case. This is a shvuot. Right, lend by the mashkon, the nichlas sashmin hashmita comes along. Afbi she'elon shav ele peleg. So now the Tanakh comes, even though the mashkon is only worth half, and a meshamet. Even it's only worth half the amount, the loan is a meshamet. Di Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi omer, im haya mashkon keneged halva'ato ele meshamet, v'im lav meshamet. So Rabbi says, no, at least the havamin at the moment is, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, right, that even if you got a half a mashkon, you lent a guy $1 million and you're going to get a mashkon worth half $1 million, the loan doesn't nishtamet. Where Rebbe seems to say, if you got a loan of $1 million and a mashkon of $1 million doesn't nishtamet. But what is the other half of the equation? If it's only half $1 million, it would be nishtamet, right? You have to run around a prusbul. So one says, my animal mishtamet, the Kamar Ashbag. What's Ashbag say when it was a mishtamet? Ilam a kenegdo. If you're going to say it's the amount there of the mashkanta, of the mortgage, if what's Rashbag saying that the first half you got a mashkanta, that's safe, and the next half is going to be wiped out, right? Michlal, then what do we learn from that? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. Please, can you guys... What, Daddy?
A lot of noise.
Don't know where the noise is coming from, but everybody can mute, please. All right. Sila melanu meshame kerin chatzi achshoshu tofes mashkolav zeyanu meshame aval meshame hu ashar. So what do we understand from that? If Rebbe says that's only the half, then remember, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was more makil than Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was more makil than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Yehuda said you only have to have half a mashkon and you're safe, and Rebbe said no, to the whole mashkon. What?
His son.
Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. His son. Right, okay. So it points out that there's father and son arguing over here, right? Interesting that the son was mentioned first. Did you notice that?
The father was mentioned first.
Sorry. Rebbe is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was Rabbi Shimon. Right, sorry. But, and the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel whenever it's mentioned in the Mishnah, right? And the halacha is never like Rebbe when he's mentioned in the Mishnah. It's quite interesting. So, right? So he says, So what does it mean? My Meshamet, according to Rashbag, if he's talking about the, only the half, then what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is going to say, that even if you've got half a Mashkon, even that half is Meshamet. In other words, putting down the half doesn't save you from anything. Because it seems that Rashbag is saying that the half is saved. So Rebbe says, they're nothing saved. Even the half isn't saved. Right, Ella, so the question is, Ella, Mashkon, the Nakid Lamele. So, what have you got a Mashkon for? Right, it was, why are you holding a Mashkon then? Right, you look at Rashi, you know, Mashkon, Tachat Shovyo. Vaimi, a law carrying a bay, law yigos. And how can it be? And then that's not called law yigos. Law yigos means it's an exposed loan. Ella, love Shmami, nah, my animal Shabbat, the Gamma Shuman Gamliel, animal Shabbat Kulo. So, it must be the Shuman Gamliel saying what? That even if you only got half a Mashkanta, half a value, your whole loan is safe. What should we do next? Is Meshamet? Lach palga, the law nakid lam mashkon. And therefore, the argument is only on the balance. If you've got a loan of $1 million and a mashkon of $500,000, the machloket nazo that $500,000 that isn't covered. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's safe. Yudin says it's not safe. Because up to the value of the mashkon, there's no machloket, right? The machloket is only in the value above. Everybody with me? Right? Can you hear me clearly now?
No.
Right. Okay, because I'm talking louder. I'm trying to save my voice, but I haven't got a voice to say that. I'll blame you, Clifford. This is a machloket. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar Keneged Kulohu Kone. Exactly the same argument we want to say over here with Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, when a guy put down money, did he, by putting down a bit of the money, did it buy him the whole deal? Or did he only buy in the value of what he put down? So according to Rashbag, what he put down buys him everything because only half a mashkon saves the whole debt. According to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, only buys you what you put down. So we understand the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rashbag, the same as Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Saba Keneg Kulu Hu Kone, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Saba Keneg Do Hu Kone. Only the value. He says, no. That's not the case. You can't compare that machloket hanayim at all to our machloket amoraim over here. It's not the same. Right? He says, my enu meshamet, what do you mean when we said enu meshamet? The Kamer Shimon Gamliel, what is he talking about when he says it doesn't get knocked out? Lach palga denakir alei mashkon. It's like we thought in the hava mina. Yes. It's only that amount. And we can't be nasi sava lach palga denakir alei mashkon ami meshamet. So we go back to our first principle that not how you understood what you thought was a mistake is correct. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says nothing is safe. And Rashbag says only the half is safe. So it's nothing like our machloket over here with Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. Because there was at least one opinion that says that you put down a small amount of money, it acquires you everything. Which would have been the parallel to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, to Rashbag saying you put out half a mashkon and it saves you everything. But the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. And the Gemara is back to the question, who said, Lamai, el mashkon denakid le lama. So why did the guy give you a mashkon in the first place? What's the mashkon? So look what he answered here. According to Rebbe, right? Lezichron dvarim ba'alma. Stam, zichron dvarim. Doesn't help you at all with regards to lo yigos, with regards to Shemitah. But it's a good way of knowing that there's a loan. It's a zichron dvarim. Zichron dvarim, not like just written down. It probably means like a bit of trust. Then how did English Gemara translate of the zichron dvarim?
A reminder.
Reminder. Okay, it's expensive reminder. Okay. Rav Kahana Yahiv Le Zuzei. Let's tell some stories here. Rav Yahiv Yahiv Le Zuzei Akitna. So kitna is not cotton, right? Kitna is normally linen, correct? How that's one of linen. That's what is linen, right? I don't know why we call cotton cotton if kitna is linen. I don't know. So what is cotton then in Aramaic if kitna is linen? Kutna, maybe. Maybe kitna and kutna, I don't know. But kitna is linen, right? So some guy, he kind of was a merchant trading in linen, obviously, and somebody gave him some money for the kitna. Lesof Iyaker kitna, and then the profit, the margins went up, and he hadn't got his whole money, got a little bit of a down payment. So he thought of maybe changing his mind. So Atla Kamara came to Rav. So Amare b'maidanakit zuzei havlehu. So Rav says, like Rav says, the amount that he paid you, that only buys him the right of the money that he paid you. Remember, Yochanan said it buys you everything. Rav says, no, only the small amount. Give him what he paid you for the deposit in linen and a bat and put out of the deal. V'idach dvarim ninu. And the rest is just dumb dvarim. It was a nice idea. Look at Rashi, v'idach the rest, dvarim ninu, below mud, no, that money. And Rav Tamid Amar, connectu koni, like we saw yesterday, and Mem Chedem Ulbet. Rav says, only the value that he gave you, that's what he's entitled to. And therefore, there's no, it's not bad faith over here. You aren't considered an untrustworthy person in such a circumstances, right? Which means you wouldn't have to be subject to the curse of Mishapara. Rav's being consistent. Deitmar dvarim, we see over here in Machlok and Aboraim. Rav says, ain't by Mishum Michus Shamana. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yes, by Mishum Michus Shamana. Just by the halachas like Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, 100%. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work. Rabbi Yochanan says no such thing. Once you said it, you said it, you've done it, you've got to honor your word. You can't put out of a deal because the price went up. Now, Gemara is a kashi on Rav. Meiti bei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, my Talmud. One of the pasuk, it's an amazing pasuk this, by the way. The pasuk says in Vayikra, it says, Mosnei Tzedek, your belly, your scales, Avnei Tzedek, your stones, you put on the weights, Eifat Tzedek, your measuring tools, Vehin Tzedek, you're measuring for a Hin Tzedek, Yelachem, Ani Hashem, Lokechem, Shosedechem, Yitzrayim. See how you, this is a very important mitzvah here, that everything has to be measured properly. You can't have a stone in your pocket that's written on it a kilo, and it's actually only 900 grams. Or if you're the buyer, and it's a kilo, it's actually 1.2 kilos. It works in both directions, right? Remember, we don't understand, but when you, in olden days, you came to when you were a trader, you came to a merchant, you don't trust his stones, you pull out your stones from your pocket. You say, I want to weigh them with my stones. Or he could have his stones. You don't have to use his stones, you could not accept his stones. Put out your stones. Your stones have to weigh the correct amount as well. So how? What's the play on the words? Yeah, it says vehin tzedek. Hin is normally a measure, right? A hin is a measure. So it says vehin tzedek v'alo hin bichlal eifahi. Why is the pasuk mentioning hin? We've already got eifah, so we've got an eifah and a hin. Why do you tell me that eifah has to be the right measurement and which is smaller, and a hin the right measure which is bigger? They're both measurements. Just tell me the measurements. So why did Torah Dafka go to pains to mention the word hin? It says that Rabbi Ela alomar lecha sheyeh hein shelcha. The hin is a hein. Yes, your hein shelcha. Tzedek, v'lav shecha tzedek. When you say, yes, it must have value, when you say, no, it must have value. You can't say no to somebody when you meant yes, and you can't say yes to somebody when you meant no. If you said yes, you said yes. So, right? So that's a kasha here on Rav, because Rav seems to say,
your word is your word.
You can't reneged on your agreement, a verbal agreement. Exactly. All right? That's called Rav Yochanan. Well, Rav says you can over and above the value of the money that he gave you. And let's be honest, without the writing of Rav, we can understand Rav's rationale as well. Because at the end of the day, let's say that you're a trader and there's a big demand on stuff. And now a guy comes and puts down 10%. You're exposed to the rest of the 90%. And he hasn't arrived. He never comes back to pay you. And in the meantime, what you your stock's rotted, he disappears and you can't. Or the price went down. He doesn't come back to you. So why should you be the loser? So it's all very nice that you want to honor your word, but you're relying on him honoring his word as well and coming back to pay you the balance.
What about the guy who does come back?
Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan. But what I'm saying is we can understand that it's not just a black and white situation here. It's gray at the same time. So Rav's saying that we've got to also give a bit of protection to the seller. It's not just all the buyer. It's not that only sellers are liars. Sometimes buyers are liars. There's an expression like that, you know, in the property industry, they say buyers are liars. when a buyer comes to buy a property, he says he's got a budget of 2 million shekels, you know he's got a budget of 2.5 million shekels. There's an expression like that in English. They say buyers are liars. It's not, I'm not making it up. It's a term used. It's an expression. It's a shita. What?
What do they say about sellers?
Sellers are tzaddikim. Right? Yeah, when you're a seller. When you're a buyer, you're not. All sellers are buyers, and all buyers are sellers. You know, it's not only sellers. If you're only a seller, then how do you get your stock? And if you're only a buyer, then where do you get your money? You know, unless you inherited it. So all sellers are buyers, and all buyers are sellers. So it's not a personal thing against anybody. But I'm saying that there's an expression, buyers are liars. Right? So Amar Abaya. So Amar Abaya. Abaya says like this. Who shall lo yedaber echad bepeh v'echad belev? So Abaya comes along and tries to soften this whole story of you. And he says, when is that the case? That's only the case if the guy wasn't honest from the outset. That hin and hin and love, you mustn't talk to a guy and tell him you're going to do something you already know in your mind you're not going to do it. If it turned out that you couldn't do it, but at the time of the sale you had good intentions, it's a different story altogether. It's not called hein, hein, love, love. You could have good intentions, things just didn't work out. Look at Rashi. At the time you say it, not really have in your mind that you're lying to the guy. Aval im nishtana hashar la'achar zman v'uchozer bo lefi shinui hashar. So even the seller had intentions to sell it to you. But what can you do? After he sold, you hadn't paid him the money and the price doubled. Ain't kan chisaron amana, says Abaya. So Abaya tries to find a happy measure here between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because Rav is pretty... That's the story. Rabbi Yochanan, that's the story. Abai says, wait a second. Not so straightforward. Don't be so hard on the world. You know, you can understand a guy gets 10% deposit and suddenly the price doubles and the guy doesn't come for 3 weeks. He says, wait, what? You claim you can't sell it? Right, okay. Go where means a kash, another kash of
you. It's all very well, but now Rambam says there's a notion that in the Hilchot that you can't be insincere.
But even Abai is saying you can't be insincere. How do you find insincere? That's what Abai just said. Insincere means. That while I'm busy talking to you, and I'm telling you, I'm shaking your hand, I'm saying, don't worry, you can rely on me, it's all good, etc. I already know that I've got a buyer waiting, and as soon as you walk out of my door, if you aren't back in the next 12 hours, I'm selling to somebody else. That's called insincere. But at the time that we sold it, I had every intention in the world to sell to you. And I took your deposit, and you disappeared now for 2-3 days trying to raise the money, and the price went up double, etc. And now, what can I do? I'm just waiting if you haven't come. I said to somebody, I'm sorry, you missed out, go. That's not called insincere. Insincere is a very, 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 very grey word. And that's the machloket between Rabbi and Abai, and Rabbi Yochanan and Abai comes in the middle. I don't think that's Abai's point. Is it aloha? I don't think so. I think the aloha, but it seems that the aloha is over here on Abai. But I understood the aloha like Rabbi Yochanan. But maybe it's like Rabbi Yochanan. I'm with Rabbi. Who's got aloha there for us? Steve, find us aloha there, please. Okay, mate, another one. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Avabish, Amru Talit Kone Dinar Zahav, Ein Dinar Zahav Kone Talit. So even though we said that you've got to do Meshicha on the Talis to get the golden coin, and the golden coin doesn't do Meshicha, right? It's not called Mekom Makom. Kachalacha, we still ready. Nonetheless, what's the Aloch? Aval Amru, right? Misha Param. So once you gave the guy the Talis and you didn't get the golden coin and the guy doesn't give you the golden coin, so Anachinami, it's the Meshicha, the one, not the money. If the guy doesn't give you the money, all things are coins. It's Misha Para, right? Man Shad Rama, Man Shad Raplaga, Hu Atiri Pravi, Misha no Me Bediburo. So here seems to be the exact opposite. We said a moment, right? Here seems to be that it's pretty straightforward. God can't change his mind. The Lord says, Tanahi. It's a machloket Tanahi. Right? Look at the Rashi. Aval Amru Chachamim, Seifek Kedani HaChozer Bo Ein Ruach Chachamim Nochai Menu. From this pride to say, no, you change your mind. I'm not happy with you. It's Chisra Amana. It's like Rabbi Yochanan say, change your mind. It's not a Chisra Amana story. Right? Look at Rashi's here. The Ashkechan Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya de Palik. So Ditnan Mas Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. Here's the case. Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. Shamar lebeno. He said to his son, we've seen this story before, by the way. Where's it from? Or later on, I think we've seen this before in other Gemaras up until now. Sends his son to go find him workers, to go hiring workers. Right? He gave them a deal Shabbat Shel Aviv, Amar Lo Bini. His father was flabbergasted by the deal he did with the workers. Afilu Ata Oselim Chesudat Shlomo B'Shato. Even if you make them a meal like Shlomo HaMelech, Lo Yatzat Lechovat Chaim. You haven't honored if what you offered them is so bombastic, right, that you never get to satisfy these guys with the offer that you made. Right? Why says Shehem B'nei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov? There's a Rashi over here. This is Shlomo HaMelech. These are all Rashi's from Pei Gimel. This is where this Gemara actually features. Right? It says, Ba'et Malchuto de Melech Vedyotava. Right? Ba'et Kesudat Shlomo B'Shato. Ba'et Malchuto. Because he was the Melech and a Hedyot. Right? Shehem B'nei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. V'Sudato Shel Avraham Gedola Mishel Shlomo. He says that Avraham is even bigger than Shlomo's. Right? So you're never going to come up with these guys. Ela Ad Shlo Yatchilu B'Melech. So the bottom line is, which the father didn't accept the deal. Says over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matia, right? Say the Gemara. He says over here, Rabbi Yochanan, she amar le benot zelchem v'psak le mazonot v'kshabayt zel aviv amar lo afilu asel shom v'shalol lo yatzal yachovatcha she'amar v'nitzav Yaakov. So therefore, he said you can change your deal with them. Ela ad shelo yatchilu b'melacha. So until they start their work, say v'amar lehem am nachen lechem ala ela pat v'kiti b'vad. Until they start working, go read this, negotiate the deal. So what does it mean, until they start working? It means once they started working, it's too late, right? If they haven't started working, you still change the deal. So the Gemara said, I understand. You tell me that your word is your bond, and it says you can't go back on your word, and you have to be honorable, and you have to keep your word, etc. And otherwise, it's chishra amana. How can you tell the guy to change your mind? You already promised him something. Says, no, Shani Atam says, no, you're right. This actually isn't a proof at all. This is a difference altogether. He said, this is an interesting halacha here. He says, Shani Atam, the poalim gufayu lo samchu datayu. They never allowed in the kid in the first place. They knew he was talking rubbish. He was just a stupid little child who was trying to make a good impression because he had a rich father. Right? So my time, he says, Meida yade da lavua samich. They know they've got to wait for the father to see that he agrees. They never expected this. They knew it was ridiculous anyhow. The Gemara said, I don't understand. He said, why do we care if they started working or not? Even if they started working already, it was obvious they weren't expecting the father to pay such a crazy amount. So why couldn't he change? But he said, no, that's a little bit different. Why? He says, once they start working, then they can rightfully conclude that the father agreed to the child's crazy offer. And Amru Meimar, Amar Kamedavua Venichele, he told their father, so he wasn't. The father said, okay, you know what? Go for it. So if they started working already, then they started working under false impressions. And then you can't change your mind, because then you've misled them. And there's going to have a doubt. But if they haven't started working yet, the workers thought that they knew this was crazy. They know what the market pays. This guy's going to offer them, come and dig. You go stay at the Waldorf Astoria on Friday night. You come work and cut a few trees down for us. I mean, you know, everyone knows that's ridiculous. Okay. So now the Gemara goes back to ask the Kashi. Look on the second wide lines of the Gemara that we said to Itmar. Dvarim Rav Amar Ein Be Mishum Mechush Ramana. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yesh Be Mechush Ramana. Right? That was we saw that Machlam Raim there. We're changing your mind over here. Cause you to fall into the category of being an untrustworthy person or not. So the Gemara says, Mia Rabbi Yochanan Hachi.
Yeah, just a quick question. Why would the Gemara go back and say, did he really say that? When it just said about a half a duff ago, he said that.
Because suddenly in the middle of the Bad Midrash, while they're having this discussion in the Bad Midrash, somebody reminded them there was a brayta which Rabbi Yochanan, or shmaita which Rabbi Yochanan had said. We seem to contradict what we just quoted a moment ago. So he said, wait a second, is that really true? Rabbi Yochanan said, could he have said that? But look, he said something else over here now.
Half a duff ago,
you
said it.
Yeah, but somebody remembered that there's something there are people who must remember that according to a lot of opinions which we saw already, this nothing was written down in the stage, right? So it's all memory. So a guy quoted something Rabbi Yochanan said, but the one said, well, maybe he's wrong, because how could Rabbi Yochanan have said that? Look, he said this. Right? Look over here, it says, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Vaham Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'omer lecha veiro matana ni noten lecha. Yachol lechzor bo. I'm going to give you a gift. He can change his mind. How can he change his mind? Rabbi Yochanan said that it's chaser emuna. Your word is your word. Right? So Gemara says, Yacho, pshita. What do you mean, can he? Of course he always can. Might not be the right thing. The question is he allowed or ele muta lachzor bo? Right? Is he allowed to change his mind? And now it's Amar of Papa. That's interesting. In that article that Robert sent from the Duff notes, you had there was a Papa as well who quoted Levi and Rav, right? It was Rav Papa who quoted it. It was Amar of Papa. And we said there the Halacha was like Rav Papa because he was a Batra. So you see, Rav Papa's quoting, so Rav Papa's a later one. So Rav Papa's has got the force, the hindsight, everything behind him, right? So into the Gemara quotes over here, Amar Rav Papa, Umod Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Papa steps in and says that Rabbi Yochanan, you might be right that Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, you can choser bo. Umod Rabbi Yochanan, b'matana mu'etet. When it's a small gift, you can't change your mind. But even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that there's certain circumstances where it's obvious that you can't expect a guy to just do what he did. He never understood, he suffered the implications, too big a loss, whatever the case is. So here we see a bit of a backtrack over here, right? A little bit of a walking back over here of Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to Rav, where Rav said complete, Rabbi Yochanan said absolutely the opposite. A little bit of a backtrack over here. Why? When you make a small, a modest offer to somebody, a modest gift, they understand that you meant it. When you offer a guy your house, let's be honest, he knows you weren't really meaning it. Asmachta kanya. Correct. Guzma. Correct. 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 Right? Hachinam yishtabran. Of course, you know, this makes sense. The Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, quotes of Yah Gemara over here, right? Where Yisrael shamar leben Levi. So Yisrael now has taken off Maaser Rishon. Who's the Maaser Rishon go? The Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi, right? And the Levi from that Maaser Rishon has to take off Trumot Maaser to give to the Kohen. So Yisrael Shamar Levi, Kur Maaser Yesh Biyadi. I've got a Kur of Maaser over here. It's yours. Ben Levi Rashai Lasoto Trumot Maaser Makom Acher. Now the Levi has got at home a whole bunch of food, which he hasn't taken off his Trumot Maaser to give to the Kohen yet. He can now take this kur. Let's say he's got 9 kur at home. I think that's how Rashi explains it. He's got 9 kur at home of unmasid masir sheni. He hasn't given too much masir to the kohen. And now you're giving him a kur. He has a 10th. He can use that whole kur. And so I'm giving that whole kur now, too much masir to the kohen. And now my 9 kur at home are now able to be eaten on tevil. Clear? But you haven't given it to the kohen, to the levy yet. You're just telling the levy that you're going to give it to him. He can already rely on it. If you're telling me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you ought to change your mind, and therefore the Levi understands it, why should I'm giving it to you? It's a daddy, you can't change your mind. But if you're going to say that, even Rabbi Yochanan will say that in certain circumstances you can change your mind, so then how can the Levi be rest assured he's going to get it? To already mafrish his trumat maser on that kur of yours, it means that at the moment he sits down and starts eating the 9 kur in his house, he's eating tevel because you are going to give it to him. In other words, we need a guarantee here that it's going to be his to be able to make it into trumat maser. So he goes, no, again, hachamaskinan, konshenakle menu v'chazav hivkin. He goes, no, there's not a proof at all against Rabbi Yochanan. Because the understanding of the Gemara over here is, which is quite interesting, this concept of a matana mu'etet is important to understand. A small gift doesn't mean small in value or small in volume. I mean, it doesn't mean small in volume. It means small in value to the person giving it to you. So now, when you give a guy maaser sheni, maaser rishon, you can only give that Maaser Rishon to a Levi. Nothing else you can do with it. You can't eat it yourself. Right? And Rashi points out over here, what is the value to you in the Maaser Rishon? I think he said that it's right at the bottom. We're going to get to just now in a moment. Look at the Rashi here. Mishum hachi rashai, sheyesh lo lismoch hamash katuv, sherit yisra lo yaasu evla. So when you quoted that pasuk yesterday from Tzafania, you won't lie. You won't give another lady. Why? The Rashi says, why is this called a matana mu'etid? It's a kur. It's quite a big value. Why is it called a matana mu'etid? A small matana. What's your inherent value in that maaser sheni? Just the fact that you can choose who to give it to. That's all it's worth to you. We're not talking about in our day today. In our day today, maaser sheni, we eat. We take on the Trumat Maaseh and we keep it for ourselves because we don't know who the Levi is. We say, Motzeh Mechaveri Alav Araya. A Levi, come prove me you're a Levi, I'll give it to you. But until then, it's mine. There's no Kedusha in the Maaseh Rishon once you take on the Trumat Maaseh, right? We can eat it. But bottom line is, that's what it's worth to me. It's worth to me just that I can choose who to give it to. So I trust you're not going to give it to anybody else because it's not like you're going to get any money for it. So that's called the Matana Mu'etet. So Levi Kerala. So the Gemara says, no. That's not proof even about a Matana Mu'etet. Why does it work over here? Because really, it was already the Levi's and he gave back to the ostriches to keep it for him. Because what are you talking about, man? That's not true. Yeah, that's the case. If that's the case, then how can the safe of this bribe, which we haven't seen in front of us here, said if you did go and give it another Levi, so all that the guy could have with you is the Torah could be upset with you. Meaning, you have to make a shvua. There's no curse here of Mishe Parah. If you think you already given to the one lady, then took it back and put it in your house. Why is it only I took it from you already. It was a masikin. It belongs to me. You can't go give my stuff to somebody else. It's not like a masikin. It's not money. It's mine. That's called stealing. You're right. The word backs down. You're right. It's not the case. It's a case where it's just his word. Shma mina. Okay, so he has proof. That's why it says, Achiram Mistabra, that if it's a small gift, right, you can rely, that's because you can't change your mind on. Only a matna mu'etet, like something like Maaseh Rishon. So, who governed the Yahav Zuzah Ashum Shemi, the Sofi Yakim Shum Shemi? The Gemara brings a story, we're going to see, it's quite a nice story. I'm giving you a spoiler, but the whole story is going to be turned upside down on its head in a second. Right? Who governed the Yahav Zuzah Ashum Shemi? The guy put down money for sesame seeds. Sesame seeds, are they cooked kidney, by the way? Sesame seeds are kidney, okay? Yeah, that's why we can't eat tchina, correct. That's right. Can't eat tchina. I was trying to find a substitute for tchina for Pesach. Anybody good idea for a substitute for tchina for Pesach? Really, a Sephardi rabbi or an Ashkenazi rabbi?
Well, he is
Sephardim. Okay, so Sephardim eat the kidney. Okay, that's what I asked. Okay. Who governed the Yav is Hashem Shemi? Okay, so if find me a rabbi, I'll make me a Sephardi club. Then we can wear it. That'll make life easier, right? Okay. So who governed the Yav is Hashem Shemi? What?
Hold by your
wife. Too late for that. Who governed the Yav is Hashem Shemi? There was a guy that put up my information. The Sophie Yaki Shemi. The sesame went up in value. Hadru Bao Vamu late on Shemi. So now he says to the guy, I'm sorry, I'm out of stock. Came to collect the shum shum. He said, I'm out of stock. Sold. Shakul Zuzech. He says, take your money back. Yeah, take it. I don't want your money. You put down here 10%. Take it. I don't want it. Lo Shakul Zuzech. Never took his money. Now, what happened in the end? Ignor. The money got stolen. So now, Atlu came to Rava. They came to Rava. So Amalei. So Rava said, listen, my friend. Kevan da Amrelach. Shakul Zuzech. Lo Shakul. They said, take it. We never took it. So lo me buy. Don't even think the guy was a Shomer Sachar. He said, take your money. You never took it. That's your problem. Once the guy said, take it, he's not a shomer at all. No shmiria whatsoever. It's your risk altogether. So I'm a rabban and a rava. But certainly the guy should get mishapara for pulling out of the deal. So Rava says, I'm a lev, hachinami. Yes, I agree with you about that. He should get the mishapara. But he's not chayev for the lost money. Look at Rashi here. He says, Hachinami, or Meshalem, Hashum Shumin, or Yakal Mishapara. That's correct. So now Amar Rav Papi, Rav Papi, not Rav Papi, Amar Rav Papi, Amali Ravina. Ravina says like this. The story we heard a moment ago. He says, Ledidi Amali Ahumi Rabbanan. I heard from this Rabbanan, Talmid Chochem, Rav Tvut Shmei, Rav Tvut, I mean, some say his name was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei. If you offered him, I don't know how the Tosech of Alma, but everything in the world, the whole Chalal, the whole world, lo haveke meshane bedibure. Right, this is a guy who's so honest that you can bet your life on him. Okay? Ubedidi ave uvda. And he said to me that this story, with regards to what we learned a moment ago with the Shum Shemin, what happened to him? He was the Rav that it happened to. Ahu Yoma Panya. It was at some day, he said, the Male Shabbat, the Erev Shabbos Havei, late in the afternoon. And he was sitting outside. The guy came and stood at his gate. And Amarli, have you got some sesame to sell me? He says, and Amri, I said to him, Amri, lo, I haven't got anything to sell you. See, the story started taking on a different perspective now. We heard a moment ago, we heard the story that the guy came and bought the sesame with the man down, and the guy came back and said, ah, it's sold out. Now you hear the story, he said, I haven't got anything from the outside, I've got nothing to sell you. So Amarli said, me, lihavu henech zule bepikadon gabach. Look, it's about Erev Shabbos. Any minute now, it's going to be Shabbos. Can you at least look after the money? Can I keep this money? I can't carry this money on Shabbos. I came to buy sesame. I've got nowhere to keep the money. So Amri, I said to him, listen, ha-bita kamach. There's the house. Do what you want. Ha-bita kamach. The house is there in front of you. I never took it as a shomer. Right? Or tvila bevita v'ignum. And he put it down in that house. It got stolen. And then Atla came to Rava. And then we went to Rava to Beit Din. And Amalei, Rava said, listen, call ha bita kamach. When a person says to you, ha bita kamach, right? Lo mi bayi shomer sachad lo have, el afilu shomer chinam nami lo have. That's not accepting upon himself shmira. Not a shomer sachad vada, not even a shomer chinam. So now the money gets stolen. Even if he was a poshaya, he's not chayev. So Amri Lei. So Ravina is telling the story. Rashi says here, Amri Lei, Ravina amalaha milta, amayti lahumi rabana. So Ravina is telling the story now. So I said to this guy, "Aha, amulei rabbanan rava ibale ikbule alei mishepara." He said, "But didn't Rava tell us? We heard that Rava told Chachamim. Rava told you, if it happened to you, that you got you chay the curse." Va'amri, he said to me, "Lo ayu dvarim me'olam." Don't know where that comes from. Haven't got a clue who said it. Never happened. Okay, Selwyn, you're asking how could they say? That's how they say, right? Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now we go back to the Mishnah. Right, the end of the Mishnah said, remember Rabbi Shimon said, Kol ha-shakas of yado, yado ala elyonah. Remember Rabbi Shimon said that we follow the money. Whoever's got the money, he's got the upper hand. So if the buyer's got the money, he hasn't paid the guy yet, he can pull out of the deal. If the seller's got the money, it's too late, he can't pull out of the deal. Okay? That's what he says. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol ha-shakas of yado ala elyonah. So Shimon says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, so now there's a bright on this. Now Rabbi Shimon, Eimatai. Right? When can the guy pull out of the deal? So he says, Bizman Sha Kesef Vaha Per Bayad Mocher. When the money and the payrot, in other words, the goods are with the seller as well. Now we can understand why he can pull out of the deal. Why can he pull out of the deal? Because the guy hasn't done a Meshicha on the goods. And we know that money ain't no kone, even if it's not like Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish Lakish, but only to Rabbanan, right? Even if Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbanan, Chachamim was still metaken. When were they metaken? We've got to remember that as well, because it can't be in the Gemara now. We've got to remember that. When were Chachamim metaken that you can't, that money ain't no kone kone Rabbi Yochanan? Or not when, but why? Because you might buy something from a guy, leave it in his storeroom, there's a fire in his house, it's his, and doesn't make an effort, right? So it's an interesting spin on that coming up in a second. So it's about Chachamim Yad Mocher, about Kesef Yad Mocher, the money's with the Mocher. Upeirot b'yad lokeach, and the payrot, the goods are with the buyer, eino yachol lachzor bo. Why? Mipnei shekasmo b'yado. In whose hands? B'yado, b'yad mocheru. So now, he's already got the money, you've got the goods, and we saw Rabbi, I think it was Rabbi Chizda or Rabbi Abau, I forgot what I think, Rabbi Chizda, who said that it has to be, it goes in both directions, remember? That the takana was in both directions, both the bay and the shore. Rabbi Rabbi Chizda, I mean Rabbi Chizda, I don't remember the other day, sort. Right? So the Gemara says, Elim ibnei she demei kaspo biyado, because the money's in his hand. Pshita. What do you mean? You've got the money in his hand. Look at Rashi. Ibnei she yaregato. Mashma shalokeach kibel kvar kaspo. Mashma shalokeach kibel kvar. In other words, the lokeach already got his stuff. So was the Amra b'hachav maskinan kon shata aliyas. This is not. Even if the buyer hasn't yet taken the goods. And so, well, this is a particular case of yes, it's not straightforward. They so what's going on over here? That should be obviously said now. Rabbi asking, huh? Talk about a particular scenario over here where the attic, where the shop was, where the storeroom was rented from the buyer to the seller. So let's say that the shopkeeper was renting my roof. And now all his goods are on my roof. And now I come along and buy from him. So I paid him the money. So even though I paid him the money and I haven't got the goods in my hands yet, I still can't pull out. So the Gemara says, time am I, why not? He says, sorry, time am I, Takin Rabbanan Meshicha. Why did Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, say that Chamim Matakein, that only after the buyer had done Meshicha on the goods, right, the goods still remain, until he takes the goods in his hands, they still remain in the position of the seller? Because it's a gzaira, because the seller could say to you, listen, well, I'm sorry, your goods were in my attic and they got burnt. But here at the moment, where's the attic? The attic's on my house. So he says the takara doesn't apply now because the storeroom's in my house. See, if suddenly a fire breaks out in my house, I'm going to want to save my house. So I'm going to go and make all efforts to put the fire out and save my goods as well. So I can't blame the seller now. So in a case like that, the Meshich would work. But this is a particular situation over here. It doesn't really help us in normal circumstances. Right? So now, Gemara is an unbelievable story. A guy bought a donkey, a wine. Actually, it was a donkey. I think it's wine. Right? Is it a donkey or a wine? Wine, Richard, I read it first, it was a wine. Now, in the end, he heard, the Rashi tells us over here that Parzak Rufila, look at Rashi, it says, Hashem Asar was like a minister, Rufila was the deputy to the king. Rabbi Chananel, he's got a bit more graphic over there. Rabbi Chananel says, towards the top of Rabbi Chananel, about 10 lines of Rabbi Chananel, he says, Shama de Kabai le Mitzvah debay parzak rufila perush oved kochavim anas. So this guy was a gazlan, basically, right? Now just tell me for my own sake, when it says the Mitzvah that he wanted to get married, was there a wedding taking place over here, or just wanted it?
He wanted it. He intended to requisition the wine.
He understood that if he bought this wine from this guy, it was going to get expropriated. Okay, so Amale, so he goes back to the shopkeeper. He says, "I want the wine. I might change my mind. Give back my money." Right. So Atle came to Avchista. Yeah, it's Avchista. Right. So Amale Avchista says, "Avia the shopkeeper is only on the sign. Avchista. I couldn't remember Rabbi Huna of Avchista. Right. Amale Kederech Shetiknu Meshichah B'Mochrin." And that's halacha lemaaseh. It works in both directions. Both have to do meshicha. Look at Rashi. Kederech shetiknu meshicha lachzor bo hamocher kol zman shlo mashach alokeach. Kach tiknu meshicha lachzor ben lekuchot. So basically, at the bottom line, maaseh halacha lemaaseh, until both sides have got what they wanted, they can change, they can put out of the deal. So the guy can put out of the deal. Okay, let's quickly try and run through this Mishnah quickly. We're running a bit later. Ha-ona'ah, so now we spoke a lot about ona'ah, right? This is the makor. So we're speaking over here a lot of times about shtut. We know we always spoken about a shtut. That how do you translate ona'ah in English, by the way? What's the word for ona'ah?
Fraud.
Fraud?
Fraud.
Okay.
Deception.
Okay.
Exploitation.
What's it?
Exploitation.
Exploitation. Okay, lots of words for ona'ah. Exploitation, fraud. What was the other word you said? Deception. Okay. So that's ona arba kesef miyashim v'arba kesef. She said, you know what? Baruch Hashem, tomorrow is a very, very short daf. We've had siyata dishmaya here at the clock. So, okay, we'll do well. Okay, let's just finish the Mishnah. So, ha'ona arba kesef miyashim v'arba kesef. So, ona says that he has 4 out of 24. That's a 6, right? That's straightforward. 4 out of 24 is a 6. V'arba kesef is a seller. Shtut de Mekach. And that's a shtut 1/6 for Mekach for transactions. So now the question, okay, so we know that the Mekach is the Hona is a 6. So Matai Mutal Achzir, when can you go now when you discover that you overcharged? How long can you take until you you can give it back? Abatash says Lachzir, Misha nit ana, Misha thinks he was defrauded or exploited. Bahad the Nakad Lashon Mutar, Rashi said, what's it? Mutar Lashminan. Here there isn't even a case of you're subject to Misha Para. If you feel you were done out of money, you were overcharged or undersold, you give it back, you undo the deal. No subject, anything. It's mutter. Right? So how long have you got? Ad kdeshi yare le tagar or le krovo. Till you can show it to another trader or to a relative who understands the story and get some sort of understanding from him. And horar bitaf na rabbi tarfon in Lord made a paskin aloche. He said, gave a ruling. Ha'ona'a shmone kesev eshin v'arba kesev v'sera. He says, not 4 out of 24. It's 8 out of 24. It was no longer a sixth. It's a third. You got to miss, and look what happened. Shlishle mekach, v'samchu tagre lord. The traders in Lord got very excited. They can overcharge up to just under a third and it's not called defrauding somebody, right? V'ama, but at the same time, amar lahem, kol ayobu talach zor. But then the guy can change, it's got as long as he wants to give it back. Amulei, aniach lanu Rabbi Tarfon mikomei. Let's leave Rabbi Tarfon. V'chozet, we prefer divrei chachamim. The divrei chachamim limit the time he's got to change it back. The refund policy, but it's also more machmir on what we can overcharge. We prefer that than suddenly being more liberal what we can charge, but being exposed to the refund at any given time. We'll carry on tomorrow the Gemara.
You know that this thing over here is very similar.